Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Happy Friday afternoon to you. Winter is back. It was a very lovely spring. We enjoyed that. Andrea Haines is in the studio. She's the editor for Blue Sky Innovation. You read that in your Chicago Tribune and online as well. We'll talk to her about some of the latest news in tech. I want to talk about Facebook and what they're doing, making some changes. But also a little bit later, we're going to talk to Andy Kroll. He's the VP and General Manager at North American Van Lines, and they do a survey every year about moving. Who's moving where? Break it down by states. Who's moving out of what states? And we all know Illinois is a winner there. More people moving out of Illinois than anywhere else. Andrea Haines is not. She's stuck here. She loves it. She would never move out. What's going on? Welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Great to see you.
Okay, so it's going to be a cold winter weekend. We'll just spend there looking at our news feed on Facebook all weekend. Is that what's going to happen?
Yes, and it's going to be changing up a little bit. Facebook has decided that, you know, we're all getting depressed and we feel isolated when we look at Facebook. And, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is taking a big look at what they're doing this year. It's his vow for 2018.
Honestly, I think that has come up every day on the show this week. That,
really? Yeah.
That the pressure on them and others and the... I can never think of the word, but the idea that you're hooked on it, and so they think they're doing something about it.
Yeah, so they want to tweak what you're seeing in your news feed and basically have you see more of the kind of posts that you're likely to interact with, which tends to be posts from your actual friends. And prioritizing those will come at the expense of things like brand pages and media organization posts.
Addicted is the word. I can never think of the word addicted this week. Right. So the idea is then you'll see more what you like, but you won't spend as much passive time having images presented to you.
Yeah, that's their concern, that like people may look at news stories or videos or brand videos, things like that, but that it's more of a passive consumption thing, and they want to emphasize the situations where you're actually interacting with your friends or with actual people on Facebook.
And they say that this will mean people spend less time at their gizmo. Good for them if that's the case.
Yeah, that seems strange, doesn't it, right? It's not usually a company's job to make customers spend less time with them, so we'll see how that plays out.
It's on Wall Street, it's not going so well for them. The stock is down today, almost 7%, 6.8%, so they're reacting to that. All right, so we'll follow that and see what they do. They've been under a lot of pressure, as have others. So my daughter just got back from L.A. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but she was taking Lyft cars all over the place in L.A. And she said that Lyft kind of owns L.A. more than Uber. Do they compete geographically? Are there one city where like Lyft does better than Uber? Because I just kind of always thought Uber was the dominant and Lyft was the upstart.
Yeah, I don't know specific to the L.A. market. I don't know. So I'm not going to guess on that. But I'm sure geographic areas, there's some are favored over others, or there's ups and downs with certain things and who's in what market with what services, because they do have a lot of different options in a lot of different cities.
So I'm reading this next story about Lyft, and they're getting their own beer label, beer brand. And in many ways, this is a story about Bäderbrau as much as it is about Lyft. But tell me how Lyft wants you to have your last beer of the night, not on them, but sort of with them.
Yeah, so Lyft is introducing in Chicago a branded beer which offers you a discount on your Lyft home after you drink the beer. So the beer is going to be called Five Star Lager, which is a nod to the way that you rate your driver on the app with five stars or less. So the idea is that it's kind of a light drinking beer. You order it at the end of the night. You get a little coupon code kind of thing on there.
It's on the can.
On the can. And the beer will only be available in bars. So it really is targeted toward that person that's obviously away from home when they're drinking it, and they need to get home soon. And so they think that's the right moment to catch them with a coupon and get them to save, looks like, about 40 to 60% off their Lyft ride.
Too, they're going to target sports bars where they said there's not a big craft beer market. And I'm not sure quite the idea of that, but this is sort of a lighter beer, and they hope that the guys after the latest, you know, Hawks win will reach for a Lyft beer.
Yeah, they seem to have put a lot of thought into what they're doing here. They seem to know the exact customer they want, which you just articulated. You know, the guys in the sports bar, end of the night, wants a light beer. They've really got it. It's a pretty narrowly defined segment, and they seem to know exactly what they want from it.
But as I said at the start, this to me is a story about Bäderbrau as well, because this is a company. Now, Bäderbrau, as I recall, was the first real craft beer in the city, certainly the first bottled beer. I don't know if it predated Goose Island's brewery, the pub, but I think Bäderbrau was the first one you could buy in a six-pack. And I think it went out of it went away and someone else brought the name back and they brought it back. Anyway, this is in this crowded market. Beta Brau is sort of emerging as a company trying to find new ways to get their product in people's bellies. And this is one of them.
Yeah, they've done some smart marketing, it seems like. I mean, this will certainly bring it to a different crowd, this Lyft effort, which will work for them probably as well as Lyft. And they also have done really well with a Billy Goat branded beer.
That's what made me think of it, because they're advertising Billy Goat beer here on WGN Radio.
Yeah, and that you can buy in stores. So that's a little bit different. And it's doing super well in the stores.
But it's interesting, or I like the idea that you've got this company that's got this nice product and they're trying to figure out different ways rather than just the traditional way to deliver it. All right, so have a Billy Goat and then take a Lyft ride home this weekend.
Yep.
That's your homework. And wear a fuzzy helmet that measures your brainwaves. What's that about?
I know, right? So this is one of the new innovations out of the show that we're not supposed to mention on the show, CES, which we're talking about all the time, I know. You know, what do we want to know about in the innovation space except all these cool new innovations, right? So this one is called Brainwave, and it's a car-related thing, and it literally sort of makes your car read your mind.
Okay, so you sit in the car. It's Nissan, did you say? Is it Nissan?
It is like, I don't...
Yeah, Nissan's Brainwave. So you sit in the car, this Nissan, and you put the helmet on, and then the helmet reads your brainwaves, and it says that it can actually detect that you want to turn right a millisecond before you physically turn right?
Yes.
And so what does that mean for us in the future?
It's kind of weird, right? It's like kind of an EEG rating kind of thing. So it's not ready for prime time, right? It's kind of a concept type thing. And you are right that it's Nissan who says they're not going to have it in cars anytime soon. But it's one of those kind of futuristic things that, like, in theory, will give you a way to have, you know, maybe novice drivers using it, make the vehicle handle a little bit differently. And they just want to figure out a way that, like, this is going to be something that we get used to and we'll have brain connection.
Right, and they say it's maybe not self-driving cars, but an assistant, sort of a co-person machine driving the car. This is an area where they can really work together.
Yeah, and the reporter who tried it said it felt really weird. So it sounds like it's definitely a little bit of an odd experience to have right now. It takes literally like EEG data from 11 spots on your cortex.
Right. Okay, so that wouldn't work after a few of the Lyft beers. That would be a bad idea because the brain wouldn't be working.
That's true. And another thing we saw at CES, we just were seeing today, was like an actual model of a car that won't have a steering wheel. So it's like a lot of the stuff, it's not like we're not looking out on Michigan Avenue and seeing it right this minute, but there's some pretty interesting and fast development.
Andrea Haines, read more at thechicagotribune.com.
And blueskyinnovation.com.
Thanks for coming by. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Adam Ochstein is in the studio. He is the CEO of Stratex, which is a human resources company that is, will you keep visiting us if we move two blocks away?
Days like today, I might not.
Oh, come on. So Stratex is right across the street from us here on Michigan Avenue. Tell me a little bit about the company.
We provide HR software and services for small to mid-sized businesses, primarily in what I would call gray-collar workforce, restaurant, hospitality, retail.
So at the beginning of the year, is this sort of a busy time for HR coming up? I would imagine almost at the end. I was going to say at the end of a year, you must be gearing up for the new regulations and changes. But, well, for example, the tax issue, that's happening now, kind of.
Yeah, and in February. And do I fill out a new W-4? Don't I have to fill out a new W-4? What's my check going to look like on February 15th? Of course, all those calculators the IRS was supposed to give are going to be out after the tax law goes into change on the new tax form.
So that's it? February 1st is when the withholding changes?
Yeah.
So they haven't given you guys much guidance?
They've given us guidance on how to calculate it, but they're not. They're supposed to have calculators on their website. So as an employee, I can see the impact.
I see.
What married four might look like from a withholding perspective.
Is that the big thing this year, or what else is going on with HR?
I think some of the stuff from last year is going to carry over the Me Too.
Right.
So I think everyone's going to look at their handbooks, their policies, maybe do things like what California has instituted, you know, from a statewide basis around sexual workplace harassment training, mandatory. It's not in coming up in city council yet. But
so wait a minute. Tell me that again. California,
Every 2 years, I need to go through sensitivity training as an employee and as a manager.
Every employee?
Every employee.
Every worker who works in California.
Yeah. around for, I think, 10 plus years. And I think you're going to see other states start to...
Well, it hasn't done a lot of good.
No, especially in the entertainment industry.
Right, right. Is California the only state that does that?
Right now, the only state that requires. But I think you're going to see every state legislation start to look to pass something like that.
Does sensitivity training, do you think that works?
I think it does not work.
Right.
I think, you know, either you're going to be a jerk or you're not going to be a jerk. I think what works is companies laying out what's tolerated, what's not tolerated, and what due process looks like to get rid of jerks.
It seems like, right, the word culture is overused, but if you know you're in a place where you don't do that, you won't do it, whether you're trained or not.
I 100% agree.
All right, tell me off the air about this predictive scheduling. What's that about?
I don't want to scare all the employers with hourly workforces out there, but it's in San Francisco right now, in New York, and it's in public through city council right now in Chicago, which basically states, if I hire you to come in, I'm going to expect you to tell you when upon interview you're going to work 30 hours a week. And if I put you on the schedule for only 20 next week, or I put you on the schedule and business is a little bit slow, so I might send you home early.
Right.
There's some compensation punitive, you know, money I have to pay you to make up for that.
Because if I take the job with you and I'm expecting 30 hours and all of a sudden I'm only getting 20, might have impacted my decision to work for you.
100%. A lot of times, if I have a big hourly workforce in a service business, I'm going to overstaff, I'm going to overhire. And then based on what business might look like that day, that week, if it's cold outside and, you know, I don't think a lot of people are going to come to the restaurant this week, I might adjust the schedule accordingly. But it's not going to give businesses the ability to be nimble like that.
And if they do, they'd have to pay a penalty.
Yeah.
And you said it's coming up through the city council?
Obviously, Illinois Restaurant Association, a lot of the hospitality associations are looking to fight
it. Because if you're an employer, part of the one of the reasons you have a part-time workforce is because it needs to be
flexible.
Flexible.
Yeah.
And again, this is in a couple of cities out west.
San Francisco and that city out west called New York City as well.
Oh, and the western New York City? Western and eastern New York City.
Yes.
Adam Ochstein from Stradex. All right, where do people find out more about your company?
Stradex.com.
All right, Maryland, the Big Ten basketball powerhouse.
Let's not talk about what happened last night.
What happened last night?
I think Ohio State almost doubled us up. They beat us by 35.
Oh, great. Well, we'll talk about that during the break. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, 1237 on this Friday afternoon. Okay, so when's the last time you moved? Did you move last year? About 40 million of us move every year. That comes to about 14% of our population. Most of us loading up in a moving van of one form or another. Andy Kroll is the vice president and general manager at North American Van Lines, and he joins us on a phone line now. Andy, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Well, thank you, Steve, for the invitation. I appreciate being here.
All right. When's the last time you moved, Andy?
Let's see. The last time I moved was about 3-4 years ago. Prior to that was about 4 or 5 different times, mostly business-related moves.
So you've moved for business around the country?
That's correct.
All right. So do you load up stuff in the back of your van, or do you hire it out? I'm hoping you hired it out, Andy.
Yeah, my company was fortunate enough to be in a position to offer some provisions for that. So I was spared the heavy lifting and the challenge of doing that. But when I was a youngster, there's no doubt that I moved back and forth to college a few times.
I'm looking at the numbers here about states that are picking up population, states that are losing, and you know it's not a favorite topic here in Illinois because we tend to. Well, I think this year we did lead the country in population loss. I don't know if that was according to the census or not, but your data sort of backs that up as well, right? You see Illinois losing people.
Yeah, that's correct. If I can just frame up a little bit about our report real quickly. North American Van Lines has been doing this, we've been in business for nearly 100 years now. In fact, in 2018, we'll celebrate our 85th birthday. So we've been collecting data for decades, and this is the first time that we put together a U.S. migration report. And one thing to keep in mind is, to your point about the U.S. Census Bureau, people are moving for all various reasons, new jobs, looking for work, retirement, so on and so forth. So our report, real simply, identifies the American moving behavior, not exactly why they're moving. And to your point, there's no doubt. We've seen what our report showed was that that Illinois was among the top 10. I'm sorry, about they were number one for the majority of the past 10 years. And
we
and
win.
Support some of our data. Yeah, you win, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
But also to support that, the American Moving and Storage Association also put some data out there, too. And their data report was reflecting the same type of results for Illinois.
So let's go over who's winning and who's losing, because my theory is that you could look at this as a retirement shift as well, and that probably has a lot to do with it, although probably not all of it. The top outbound states, Illinois, number one, followed by Connecticut, New Jersey, California, and Michigan. So those are all northern, with the exception of California, northern cold weather states. The top inbound states, Arizona, Idaho, North and South Carolina, and Tennessee, places where you might see retirees going to get warm. I mean, am I oversimplifying that?
No, I wouldn't say that you are, but there's certainly some of that involved. You know, like I had mentioned, people move for so many different reasons: jobs, financial, family factors. I mean, North American Van Lines, you know, we focus on helping them make the process as efficient as possible. So, somewhat, you know, I'd only be speculating a little bit if I started talking about the reasons why. You know, there's been many articles put out. I think there was one recently in the Tribune, the American Moving and Storage Association, that put out some data and some articles about some of the migration patterns. But, you know, to be honest, you know, some people just, they follow the work.
Right. They're
looking for the work in addition. You know, they're leaving perhaps some states that have high taxation, or the cost of living is high, perhaps. And, you know, there's a multitude of reasons, but I would agree that that's definitely a factor.
But, of course, in that theory, the state that really stands out is California, because it certainly is a warm weather state as well. And I was surprised to see that is this the first time it was on one of the highest outbound states?
Yeah, that's correct. That's a good question. California made its first debut in the top five most outbound states, along with the ones you had mentioned, Illinois, Connecticut, New Jersey, and Michigan. And you have to keep in mind that this is data that we've collected, North American Van Lines, over the years. So it really kind of shows American moving behavior with those we serve and provide professional services.
Yeah, and so California, I think, would probably fall into, I'm assuming, a high-tax state. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised to see that one there.
Well, it seems almost monthly we read something going on in California that seems somewhat tragic, don't we?
Well, that's certainly true. Certainly true. Okay, so maybe those Californians are going to Arizona, because Arizona kind of made its debut at the top of the inbound states.
That's correct. Yeah, Arizona is included. I'd also like to share that Tennessee made its first debut in the top five.
Everyone wants to live in Nashville. That's what that's about, Andy.
Well, I know. I enjoy country music myself, and they're certainly putting out some great music there. That's for sure.
Is that
also included in there?
Well, yeah. No, go ahead. Please go ahead.
Oh, I was also going to include the four others in the top five. You know, you meant Idaho, North Carolina, South Carolina. So again, you know, the Southeast is seems to be prominent, as well as the Southwest.
And if you were to pick, so, you know, as we picked California out of the outbound states, the state that doesn't fit maybe in the inbound is Idaho. I mean, although I think a lot of retirees do end up in Idaho for one reason or another. And that is the top, or the nation's fastest growing state. I had no idea that was the case as well.
You know, like I said, there's various reasons for that. We certainly have been moving a lot of people to Idaho, very happy, pleased, satisfied customers. So I would suspect that we may be fortunate enough to get some further referrals from those folks who landed there safely, and we'll continue to drive those numbers up.
All right, Andy Kroll is on the phone line, senior VP at North American Van Lines. And you said North American Van Lines is commemorating its 85th anniversary this year.
That's correct.
Okay.
This year, on our birthday, will be 85 years.
So how did it start? What were the first, I mean, there weren't, we weren't loading up trucks with moving blankets in the early 1930s, were we? Or what, how did the, what was the company's first move? What were that like?
Well, it came together in 1933. And what it really simply was a group of movers who were local movers that were at times moving folks out of state. And a lot of the migration was a result and the demand for the buildup for the early First and Second War. So what moving companies, early moving companies, struggled with is once they moved somebody, say, from Illinois to Arizona, they had trouble getting back with a load to be profitable and service the customer effectively. So they all started forming these alliances together. And lo and behold, after a few years of doing that, they built and started and formed North American Van Lines.
Ah, there we go. Well, that's good to know. I had no idea. Andy Kroll, VP at North American Van Lines, thanks for taking time to spend part of your Friday with us. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
The number of the week this week is 90 million. 90 million. The Esports Overwatch League. It's an esports league that kicked off its first games this week. It cut a deal with Twitch to stream every regular season and postseason game for the next 2 years. And the price tag for that, $90 million. 12:52, this is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Esports is here, and it's big, and it's only going to be getting bigger. Oh, on the phone line is Front Row Phyllis. Speaking of big and big weekends, Front Row Phyllis. Phyllis, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. The winter is back. It's kind of cold. We need to find some stuff to do this weekend. And I want to start, though, because it's a holiday weekend, right? And so Monday, when the kids are home from school, that's a good chance to take in one of Chicago's great museums.
It is. It's a big day. So they actually, here's a list of the museums. It is free admission on Martin Luther King Day. So all the parent has to do, or whoever's going to be accompanying, the adult that's going to be going with the child, just has to show a valid ID. And this includes for the Adler Planetarium, Art Institute, Chicago History Museum, the Field Museum, Museum of Science and Industry, as well as the Shedd Aquarium.
So send the kids to the museum for free on Martin Luther King Day.
I think it's a great idea.
Do they have to be accompanied by an adult? Can you just plop them on a CTA bus and forget about them?
Yeah, I would probably have an adult there. Okay. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Hey, let's talk about the at the Lyric Opera, Turandot is being performed. I saw that on your list today. So, yes. Phyllis, you know, I took a group to Prague a couple of summers ago, and part of the tour was the taking in an opera at Prague, and it was Puccini's Turandot.
I didn't
really know anything about the show, but this is the opera that has Nessun Dorma in it, which is that, you know, that beautiful piece of music that's very popular. And watching it in Prague, they would sort of get hints of the melody. I'm like, I know this song. Beautiful music. And so that's at the Lyric. Is it this weekend?
That is. It is running now through January 27th. And it is actually one of the biggest blockbusters, like you were just talking about. You know, the repertoire takes us through a fantasy of ancient China. And like you said, the music is brilliant. The costumes and the set design are just outstanding. And the story is just electrifying.
At the Lyric. And, you know, that reminds me, too, thinking of Prague, that we haven't announced it yet, but I'm going to take a WGN group to England coming up in the fall. I hope to have the details on it in a week or two, but as a little heads up there. Phyllis, you should come with us.
Yes. You know what? I got my plane ticket. I'm all ready. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. So this is the time of year we kick into the show season, right? The auto show's coming up. There's, you know, the adventure travel show, I think, is usually around this time of year. And this weekend is what, the boat show?
It is. It's the Chicago Boat R&V and Sail Show that's over at McCormick Place. It runs now through Sunday. And I have to tell you, there are some not only are there incredible boats, I mean, there really is. There's one that I think is a little shy of $1 million.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Are you a boater?
You know what? I'm not, but I think I need to be friends with some of these boaters. What do you think?
Listen to this. I used to sail a little bit, Phyllis. The first rule of sailing, write this down if you want. The first rule of sailing, never own your own boat.
Right. Right.
They're always looking for someone to help crew, and then you don't have to pay for it. That's the way to do
it.
You
don't have to pay for it. And the upkeep and everything else. Well, there's a lot of other things that go on at the boat show. There's great seminars that are filled with tons of information from, you know, maintenance to weather conditions and traveling with pets. Plus, they have a free fishing for kids 12 and under in the Huck Finn Trout Pond. And they also have an area that, this is where I'm going to be, the Corona Find Your Beach Bar and Patina. Right?
I like that. My parents are actually going to go see Beautiful in a couple weeks. It's, you know, back, God, I think, for the third time. And I see on your notes that Wicked is back in Chicago as well.
It is. It is here only until January 21st. It is one of my favorite productions. And it runs 2 hours, 45 minutes with one intermission, and it's over at the Oriental. I have seen this production 7 times.
Oh, so wow.
Yeah, it's if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth going to see it. And if you have seen it, see it again.
So you could almost be an understudy.
I tried, but, you know, I'm not great at singing. I'm trying.
How about at heights? Do you like being lifted by guy wires over this audience or anything like that?
No, I have a fear of heights, so probably I'm out, right?
Well, we'll have to try the opera instead. Where do people find more information, Phyllis?
You know, just go to frontrowphyllis.com.